Hey everyone, welcome back to the Time for Truth, a radio ministry of New Testament Baptist Church. Thank you for tuning in, and we pray you are blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Today's message is brought to you by Brother Larry Lafferty.
All right, if you have your Bibles with you, we'd ask you to turn to the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 7, and we're going to begin reading in verse 84. Numbers chapter 7, beginning in verse 84. Numbers chapter 7 in verse 84, the Bible says, "This was the dedication of the altar in the day when it was anointed by the princes of Israel, 12 chargers of silver, 12 silver bowls, 12 spoons of gold, each charger of silver weighing 130 shekels, each bowl 70. All the silver vessels weighed 2,400 shekels, and after the shekel of the sanctuary. The golden spoons were 12, full of incense, weighing 10 shekels apiece, after the shekel of the sanctuary. All the gold of the spoons was 120 shekels. All the oxen for the burnt offering were 12 bullocks, the rams 12, the lambs of the first year 12, with their meat offering, and the kids of the goats for sin offering 12. And all the oxen for the sacrifice of the peace offering was 20 and 4 bullocks, the rams 60 and the he-goats 60, the lambs of the first year 60. This was the dedication of the altar after that it was anointed." I'd like to preach, the Lord be my helper tonight, on the thought, how dedicated are you? Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your goodness and watch care to our church. We praise you for that. Lord, we pray that you might meet with us tonight. Lord, we humbly ask that because we certainly know you don't have to, but that seemed good to yourself. Lord, we pray that you might honor your word tonight. Shake us up even where we're at. Lord, cause us to be mindful of your word. Lord, cause us to crave your presence more than anything else. And we'd be faithful to give you the praise for it, for it's in Christ's name we do ask. Amen. Now, maybe some less familiar verses as I was studying this out. I know I've read it at some point, but I had not looked on this in some time. What this is happening is the dedication of the temple. They were given two things. They were in the traveling from the land of Egypt to their promised land, and some suggest this was for the dedication of the wilderness tabernacle. Others say this is what you do when you do get to the land of Canaan. You do this to the temple, but either way it makes no difference because they were dedicating it. They were giving it to the Lord. Now, in 2015, if anything I see amongst God's people is this, lack of dedication. They have not given themselves to the Lord. They've not truly give over to everything that He wants in their life. Verse 84 says, "This was the dedication of the altar, just the altar portion of the temple, not the curtains, not the rings, not the badger skin. This was just the dedication of the altar." Very valuable thing. Now, that says to me, and you'll see in a minute, they dedicated each piece at a time, that we as the Lord's people have portions we dedicate and portions we keep. Maybe our Sundays are given to the Lord, but the Saturday is ours. Maybe we do one thing on Monday and say, "Well, I'll go visit some elderly in the nursing home," but on Tuesday you do nothing for the cause of Christ. That's kind of how this dedication was. One piece of the large tabernacle or the large temple individually dedicated. Now, I ask you this, what have you dedicated to the Lord? Are you considered dedicated? Are you considered sold out? This was the dedication of the altar in the day when it was anointed by the princes of Israel, 12 chargers of silver, 12 silver bowls, 12 spoons of gold. Now, I do want you to see the first thing in this dedication was an anointing. Have you ever been through a preaching service where you didn't think he's going to make it to the other side because it was so dry and boring? Now, sometimes that's the listener's fault, and sometimes it's the preacher's fault. If the Holy Spirit don't show up, He don't have to just because we want Him to. But when He does, there's an anointing to the preaching. You can sense the presence of the Holy Ghost, and it makes the Word of God a living Word. It helps us out. Now, I want you to see that that was their desire. They were dedicating, really all it was a box to lay the sacrifice on. They were dedicating something like that to the cause of God. Now, I ask you, how many of you dedicated anything to Christ today? What did your whole day, Wednesday, June the 3rd, consist of concerning Christ? And don't say coming here, because that's your reasonable service. And so we lack dedication in the day and age which we live. You can read verses 85 and 86. It describes a very expensive, weighty cost. It describes the weight and shekels that it cost to put those 12 candle. It was really like kind of like a candle or a prong, and each one for each tribe head, and it was a great deal of cost. Now that says to me, if you want to be dedicated, it's going to cost you something. And I'm not talking about your tithe. I'm not talking about your offering. It's going to cost you something individually if you want to be dedicated to the cause of Christ. And you know what I have found? It costs the thing that I love the most. It costs me the thing that is most favored. And I think it's always been that way with God's people. If Abraham was going to truly follow God, what was it going to cost him? His son. That's what it was going to cost him. And so we see that it's always been that way. Now verse 88, and all the oxen and the sacrifice and all the oxen for the sacrifice of the peace offering were 24 bullocks, the rams 60, the goats 60, the lambs of the first year 60. This was the dedication of the altar after it was anointed. So I want you to see, it was anointed first, then it was dedicated, and then it was anointed again. Now I say that to say this, we need to dedicate ourselves all along the way. We need to say, okay, I've messed up. I need to rededicate this portion of my life to the cause of Christ. I've spent too much time on Facebook. I need to rededicate that part of my life to Christ. I've spent too much time down at the shopping mall. I need to rededicate that part of my time to the cause of Christ. That's what it was, a double dedication. When they were through, they did it again. And that's the way it's always been. Now look with me in 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. We do see the dedication of the first temple. We see as Solomon is laying things out before the Lord. 2 Chronicles chapter number 7 in the very first verse. 2 Chronicles 7 in the very first verse. Now, when Solomon had made an end of praying. Now, you note that in your Bible, because they're fixing to feel an unbelievable presence of God. And as he's ending this prayer, now you say, well, Brother Larry, I don't know. I don't know what I've had to myself, and I don't know what I've dedicated to God. Well, I'll tell you this, spend some time in prayer. Spend some time seeking the face of God, and He'll let you know. He'll let you know what you've kept to yourself, and He'll let you know even the areas you've slipped in. And I'm not talking about being lost again, but would we deceive ourselves and say that we serve God at the same way all the time? If you convince yourself of that, you're lying. We have good days and bad days. That's the part of the flesh. That's the nature that we have. Now, when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifice, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. Now, what happened at the end of the praying? What happened at the end of his praying? The fire came down. Now, I will point you to the day of Pentecost that a very similar event happened, and the fire came down from heaven because they were all in one accord. They were all in one place. They all had their mind fixed on Jesus, and He came down. The Holy Ghost came down and filled the place where they were sitting. Now, did they always run that well? No way. You find them running. In fact, they didn't even obey God's command. He says, go ye into all the world and teach and preach the gospel. They didn't do it, and they had to be smited by the Roman government, and then they were scattered everywhere. They were your typical Baptists, were they not? And so we see then that when we are in the will of God, both individually and corporately as a church, God is going to move. And we see that from this verse. Now drop down to verse 9. And in the eighth day. Now, you can read that for your health this week, but I'll tell you what happened in the interim. They met with God, and Solomon called for a week-long fast. Now, the fast consisted that they would eat no pleasant bread. They would eat no meat. Essentially, what they were eating was just the bread of the altar for a whole week. They were to be restricted to that. Now, if we want to dedicate something to God, we're going to have to be restricted from some other things. And you know what I found? If it's saved people or lost people at all, just in big one lump, we do not like to be restricted. And we will go to the very nth degree. You ever had a child? You said, don't you go, don't you come over here. And they'll come up right to the edge and sit there and smile and look at you. You know why they do that? They're depraved. You know why we do that? We're depraved. And so we see then, very easy to understand principle, is that we like to keep things to ourselves. We don't like the light bread. Verse 9. And in the eighth day, they made a solemn assembly, for they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days and the feast 7 days. Now, did you get that? They were going daily and dedicating the altar, saying, Lord God, this is yours, use it. And then the next day they were going back and say, Lord God, this is yours, use it. And then they did it again and again and again. And you know what happened? God met with them. Now, I ask you this. What have you given to God this week? You young people, you listen to me. Use it while you have it. Use that strength of youth. Use that clarity of mind while it still exists. Give it to God completely. Dedicate it to Him. And I will guarantee you, you will be used of the Lord in a great and mighty way. So, we have to be dedicated. Every aspect of our life, from our money to our health, even down to our homes that we live in, dedicated completely to God. Now, there's nothing wrong with this, and certainly most churches these days can afford it. But you know what? If we have a visiting preacher, what do? We call down here, and we get him a cabin at Dover Inn and Motel, and we put him over there, and say, there, enjoy yourself. But does that show dedication? What about cleaning up your house and have them in your back bedroom? That's how we used to do it, is it not? That's dedication. You know what? It takes a little bit more work, doesn't it? A little bit more preparation time. See, we need to be dedicated. We need to be dedicated. And we live in a day, an age, if anything is missing among God's people, it's dedicated to the cause of Christ. You know what? I hear all the time, and I fully believe it, and I preach it myself, that the coming of Christ is very near. But does that impact our dedication? It shouldn't, but it does. It certainly shouldn't, but it does. You know why? It shouldn't. It's because the purpose has not changed. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That's not changed. If we are in the last minute of the last hour, our instructions are still the same. So why isn't it happening? No dedication. No dedication at all. I want what's mine, and nobody's going to take it away from me. That is the natural move of the flesh. So did these people do it? Most certainly they did not. They did for a generation. And then they did it no longer. Look with me in the book of Ezra. Ezra chapter 6, verse 14. Ezra chapter 6, verse 14. The Bible says, "And the elders of the Jews builded, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo, and they builded and they finished it." What a wonderful blessing. Now, if you know your Bible at all, you know that they are in the rebuilding phase. You know that they had ceased to be a nation. You know that the temple and the city of Jerusalem was trodden down and nothing was really left. And you had one individual in that day that was brokenhearted over the situation that Jerusalem was in, and particularly the house of God. You know what we need? We need just one person that would be brokenhearted over New Testament Baptist Church. We need one person that would be brokenhearted over Faith Baptist Church. We just need one person to be brokenhearted over any of our true churches. It was one man. And he went before the king and got a grant to do what was needed. One man. Listen, you think those people that lived among the mass was brokenhearted? No. If they'd been brokenhearted, they had already done something. They were living in the rubble that was left of the temple. And you know what? We are satisfied to live in the rubble. Just what's left, you know. Well, we can't do nothing. It's the last day. Well, show me the Bible for that. I don't think you'll find it. And so we see then in this day, there were some men that got together. There were some men that were pointed. But how were they helped? By preaching. Haggai and Zechariah preaching the Word of God helped God's people. What about that? I don't think their youth program helped them, did it? I don't think their bus ministry helped them, did it? It was simply the preaching of the Word of God. You know what's going to help us, me included, is the preaching of the Word of God. That's what's going to help in the day which we live. We want revival. This is how it comes. This is how the Lord births it, is along these terms. Now, I also want you to see in verse 15, "And the house was finished on the third day of the month of Adar, which was in the sixth year of the reign of Darius the king. And the children of Israel, the priests and the Levites, and the rest of the children of the captivity, kept the dedication of the house of God with joy." Now, we find a second event, we find a second time, and we find a new temple built over the old temple used to be. They kind of put it back together. They used much of the same material. So could we say this is a dedication or a rededication? I believe they were rededicating it, don't you? It already happened once before. Remember years ago when people said, "I want to rededicate my life to the cause of Christ." How many times has it been since you heard that? How long has it been since someone was determined to serve God better than they have been? You know why we don't hear that? You first have to admit that you've messed up. You first have to admit to say, "Hey, I'm not doing what I need to be doing." That is why our prideful, self-willed self will not allow us to say, "I rededicate," because if you do that, in the very essence, you're admitting something's wrong. Something's not good. Something's not right. That's why you don't hear of it. So, in the days of Ezra the prophet, we find that they rededicated the temple. They said, "We will go on and serve." And I want you to see, it says they did it with joy. They did it with gladness. They did it with happiness. They wasn't embarrassed. They were glad to do it. When God's people began to repent, they'll be glad to do it. They'll be glad to do whatever the Lord God gives them to do. Now, if you will, go with me to the book of Nehemiah, Ezra and Nehemiah, back to back, telling the very same story from kind of different perspectives. Nehemiah chapter 10. Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 28. Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 28. The Bible says, "And the rest of the people and the priest." Now that is a huge number of people. You'll see verses 1 down to verse 28. People are named specifically. identifying names given to people. Now, aren't we too embarrassed to do that today? Very specific names. Are you willing to say, as Larry Lafferty, I rededicate myself. I know I have messed up. I know that I'm not as committed as I should be. Larry Lafferty rededicates himself to the cause of Christ. That's what all those names are about. Individuals that committed themselves. Now, notice, and the rest of the people, meaning everyone there, all the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the porters, the singers, the Nethims, and all they that had separated themselves from the people of the land. How about that? Separation as old as the book is itself. Who was rededicating? Who was involved in this? The people that had separated themselves. The people that were different. You know, why do I preach? And some people say I harp on it. You know why I preach and harp on separation? Because people who are not separated are not dedicated. Right? That's what the Bible just said, isn't it? And so we see then that in the day which we live, therein is a huge problem if we don't want to separate from the filthiness of this world to be useful to the cause of Christ. Then I want you to see toward the end of that verse, everyone having knowledge and having understanding, and they are not the same. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. You know what? I could quote that a long time before I understood it. I knew it, but I didn't understand it. And so I want you to see, if we want to be an understanding people, we have to get to this. They clave to their brethren and their nobles. Oh, what a rich, wonderful blessing. You know, when we get in trouble, when we get some bad news, and you know, I tend to always use health incidents as bad news because I'm a nurse. But you know what? Just news that you're cold and indifferent. What it says here, that because of the devastation, because they were renewing things again, they were cleaving to one another. They were holding. How long has it been since you've seen a church do that? How long has it been? You say, well, that's emotionalism. Well, God made us an emotional creature, did He not? What's the shortest verse in the Bible? Jesus wept. That sounds like emotion to me, does it not you? Now, you may think He was weeping over Lazarus, but He was weeping over the situation. That's another sermon for another day. But He did weep. And so we see in this situation that they were individuals who were willing to acknowledge that there was a problem before they dedicated the temple, before they went forward in the things of the Lord. Verse 30, very quickly. And that we would not give our daughters unto the people of the land, nor take their daughters for our sons. Again, it goes to separation. In other words, I'm not going to take in a woman of the mixed multitude for my sons to marry. I'm not going to let my daughter marry a Church of Christ person so that they'll be at conflict the rest of their life. Uh-oh, saying names, ain't I? Oh, well, that's the truth of the Bible, is it not? Listen, we don't have well, I take that back. We don't have Egyptians, and we don't have Babylonians around us. They were the heathen of that day. But listen, we still have false teachers and false prophets, and I don't want my children around them. Is that not true? That's why mine didn't go to public school, and with the grace of God, none of the rest of them will either. It's because I don't want them involved. They don't need to be there. Lastly, in the New Testament, we'll bring it down to the day that we live now. In the book of 2 Corinthians. This verse means a lot more to me when I looked at the rededication of the temple. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. The Bible says, "And what agreement have the temple of God with idols?" Now, very briefly, very momentarily, he's going to say, ye are the temple of God. meaning us individually, meaning us corporately as a church here at Dover. What agreement? Now, we say, well, we don't have no agreement with them. Amen. Yes, you do. And I do too. Let's be real, real honest. Agreement. You know, got a presidential election coming up next year. You just jump on a boat. What is that? It's an agreement. This used to be a fully democratic county. Used to be a fully democratic state. You know what? I don't have agreement with those people. Why would I put such an ungodly character to be our leader? What agreement? When you go to the workplace in the morning, what kind of agreement are you going to have with the individuals? You know what? Unless they've been born again and they love the Lord, there should be no agreement. It's easy to say, oh, I've not made any concord. I've not entered into documentation with them. Every day when we say, hey, it's all right. Sodomites, if you want to marry, you marry up. That's an agreement. We're saying, hey, it's okay. That's an agreement. When we're too embarrassed to say that salvation is completely of grace, you know what? That's an agreement saying that it's not. If you won't say it, you're agreeing to what's been said, are you not? You don't have to be ugly. You don't have to be difficult. Say, just let me put my two cents in and back it up with Scripture. By grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself, it is a gift of God. Gifts don't come for the asking. Gifts are presented to people. Read the rest of that. And what agreement had the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now, I want you to see one thing. The temple needs to be rededicated. It says, ye are the temple of the living God. How long has it been since you said, you know what, I give myself fully, whatever God wants is what I want. That is surrendering yourself as a token. What you would do with me will be fine. What you would have me to do, it's fine with me. How many people do you know that's really ever done that? We need to be that kind of people. We need to be that kind of people that would set self and sin aside and say, I'm going to do whatever the Lord would have me to do. That's what we need. We need to lay it on sacrifice.
Thank you for joining us for the Time for Truth. Our services here at New Testament Baptist Church are Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, 11 a.m. for the Sunday preaching hour, and our midweek service begins at 7 p.m. Our building is located at 805 Natcore Drive in Dover, Tennessee, and we would love to see you there. If you're listening, we would enjoy hearing from you. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 145 in Dover, Tennessee, 37058. You can email our pastor, Brother Larry Lafferty, at preacher@clarksville.com or like us on Facebook at facebook.com/New Testament Baptist Dover. Once again, thank you for listening and tune in next week at this same time for another Time for Truth.